Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. This week, I'm talking with the defending FFPC main event $500,000 winner, Jerry Hooten. Currently, Hooten sits in 10th place overall in this year's main event as he tries to make it back-to-back $500,000 years. In this episode, we break down a few of the backup running backs and some high-stakes waiver wires that need to be grabbed, the philosophy of lineup setting in a season-long national event, and much more. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here is the defending $500,000 FFPC main event champion, Jerry Hooten. We are welcoming aboard royalty, FFPC royalty, former $500,000 main event winner, along with your nephew, Phil. It's Jerry Hooten back on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Welcome aboard, man.
Well, thank you. I always like being on this program because that means I'm doing something right.
Well, you did a lot right. So did you spend all the 500 grand? Is that all gone? Have you invested in anything? What did you spend it on?
I didn't spend all of it, but it went into real estate.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. A nice, lucid way to spend your money. So that's good to hear. And you're on your way to try to win it again. 10th place right now in the FFPC main event. You and Phil, I assume you guys drafted this together. Did you feel like this one was special? Did it stand out, more so than some of the other main event teams that you had drafted this year?
This one I liked a lot. I also liked the one that was in 40th. I actually kind of like that team a little bit better. I think it has some more upside. But those two teams, and there's another one that I thought would be doing a lot better than what it is. It's 5-4. I thought it was a lot better team than that, but it still has a shot of getting in the playoffs.
Well, that's good. And certainly to have multiple bullets at this thing, that always makes it easier. One of the guys that you got back after a long absence on this team in 10th place was Jerry Jeudy. Gets that high ankle sprain week one. He misses all this time. Now he's back, and I'm just kind of curious when you expect him, or if you expect him to turn it on at some point this season, become the main guy in Denver over Courtland Sutton. Are we about to see Jerry Jeudy go on a tear here to close out the 2021 season?
I already figure him as being above Courtland Sutton already. I mean, that Denver offense, they don't run a lot of plays, so his upside's probably capped a little bit. But I would love for him to get back to where he was before he got hurt. I'd be all for it.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things that we noticed, or at least I noticed during drafting season. I mean, Jeudy was going significantly ahead of Courtland Sutton. In fact, and you can feel free to disagree, you probably know this better than me, but as we got closer to the start of the season, didn't you see Jerry Jeudy rising up draft boards in the main event more so when he was getting taken in like July or August?
Oh yeah, he got squeezed up there, fifth, sixth round, I guess, where he was going. But yeah, you could have got him in the 10th, 11th round in the summertime.
And you already view him as the main guy over Sutton. I think that is probably the popular take on him right now. And it's just a matter of him, putting that into motion.
Let's go back and forth. 1 week it's going to be Sutton, and that, 2 weeks it'll be Judy, then 1 week it'll be Sutton. But I think for going out, he'd be the one to have.
Does who do you think? I mean, does the quarterback matter there between Bridgewater and Locke? I mean, it certainly seems like it's Bridgewater's job to lose. Do you like one of them more so with Bridgewater at quarterback?
I like Judy way better with Bridgewater than Sutton. Sutton needs a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers who doesn't mind throwing it into tight windows, because he's not going to get separation, but he can get leverage. So I think Bridgewater will see Judy flash open and throw him the ball.
Let's talk about a lineup decision that's facing you this week. Michael Carter is at home against the Bills. You have him in there, at least the last I saw the lineup. You have him in there as a starter over Hunter Renfrow, who is also at home, but he's taking on that Chiefs defense. Do you anticipate making a flip there and benching Carter in favor of Renfrow, or do you think it's going to, when the real bullets start flying on Sunday, Carter's going to be there and he's going to stay in there instead?
Well, I believe Carter's going to stay in there, but Renfrow may go in for DJ Moore. That would be the one guy I would drink.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about what's going into that decision, because obviously you invested a lot more draft capital into DJ Moore, but he's sort of fallen off. What do you think the reason is for that, and how seriously are you thinking about putting Renfrow in there for him?
I'd probably 60-40 in favor of doing it. The Raider offense has now become a two wide receiver. It's Waller and Renfrow. That's the only two guys getting targets. The Carolina offense has just hit a wall. Now, maybe with McCaffrey coming back in there, they'll get back in the groove and Moore can be more productive. But as it sits right now, I would play Renfrow over Moore. Where you're drafting him doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter where you're drafting him anymore. That's gone.
And what's interesting too is not only has DJ Moore, you mentioned the whole Carolina offense, which is true, as DJ Moore has fallen on hard times, Robbie Anderson's just had a tough season altogether, and Terrace Marshall's been hurt. So we looked at this team at the start of the year like, hey, maybe they have three options. Right now, they really have no consistent options in there, and I am curious as to see, once the games kick off at 1 o'clock on Sunday, what the starting percentage will be on those DJ Moore owners if he is flexed out or if he is benched. That's going to be something to watch this week, no question. James Conner, you're the beneficiary here of the Chase Edmonds injury, because you have Conner on your team. He's got, four multi-touchdown games so far this season, had the three-touchdown performance this past week against San Francisco. I did see a report this week that Eno Benjamin is going to be more involved. And I know the thing with Connor too is, part of the reason he has been so successful is because Arizona has managed his touches and he has had a guy like Chase Edmonds out there. Do you think that Connor is going to be more of a bell cow going forward, or does Eno Benjamin, I don't want to say take on the Chase Edmonds role, but does he eat into this to make it more of a timeshare?
Oh, he'll definitely eat into it. I don't think it matters if you should start James Conner or not. That shouldn't be irrelevant. I mean, how many running backs in the league actually take the vast majority of snaps? What is it, four or five of them total? So any running back is going to have somebody eating at him. If if Conner's the best guy to play, play him, regardless of what Eno does or not.
It's interesting here. We were just talking about the Panthers, and we're recording this on Tuesday to let everybody behind the curtain here a little bit, but Ian Rappaport actually just tweeted out that Sam Darnold has a fractured scapula, and it sounds like he's going to be out several weeks. Now you're looking at PJ Walker in Carolina. How does that change the DJ Moore decision? Do you like knowing that you have a healthy quarterback in there throwing to DJ Moore, or does this not affect the decision as much as I might think?
Well, it just cements that I'm putting Renfrow in now. I'm going to have to see a game.
Yeah, I mean, it is a backup quarterback too. And with DJ Moore, it's
I mean, you got to remember, this is a team that's in 10th overall. I'm 9-0, and I'm just trying to score points to, you know, to be the total point guy to get the bye or get the, you know, the seed, get the automatic into the tournament. So on this team, I'm not playing any wishy-washy guys. I'm playing guys I know are going to get out there and play and put some points up. So that's an easy for me. But if somebody needed to win, catch up, maybe you take a shot with Moore.
And when does that, Jerry, when does that sort of flip for you where you start, okay, I know it's going to be near impossible for this team to miss the championship round. Now I just got to go with points. I'm going to go with safer options. When does that flip? Do you start doing that like week 5, week 6, week 7? When do you start looking at that and try to big picture it?
Well, it goes into full effect this week. We're only 3 weeks out. So, you know, it depends on where you are. We were in a pretty comfortable spot, but I mean, any team can go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak. But we're close. Right now it's in full effect. That's the two teams that are, you know, the 10th and 40th team, I'm going to play safe. The other teams, I need to catch up a little bit. I'm going to be a little more aggressive.
Let's talk about Adrian Peterson. I noticed that you grabbed him in several of your main event leagues last week. I don't know if you grabbed him in a bunch of other leagues, but I'm just kind of curious, roughly how much did you pay for Peterson off the waiver wire? And why was it important for him or for you to get him on your rosters in the main event and the other leagues you picked him up in?
I got him, in the $500 range. Some of them were the 40 team. I needed a running back. So I looked on the board and see what some of the people had left. And the one guy had 592. So I bid 593 to make sure I got him. Peterson is in a great spot. He's in a run-heavy team. They'll have no problem feeding him the ball 20 times a game. He's going to get the goal line work. Where do you find that at week 9? I know he's 36 years old, but where do you find a guy like that in week 9? You can't take the fab money with you. So if I had it, I figured I'm going to spend it and get him and roll the dice, and I may come up with a nice RB2. In week 9.
I guess this is kind of team dependent, but if you had Adrian Peterson and you had DJ Moore and you only had one flex spot, who would you roll with there? I mean, if it's the 10th or the 40th place team, are you much more likely to play Peterson there than DJ Moore?
Yes.
And then the Moore would still be the upside play, right? If you needed not a Hail Mary, but if you needed a makeup.
I don't remember who Tennessee plays this week, but it's a New Orleans, I believe, which is a fairly tough matchup. I mean, if you wanted, probably. I figured Peterson's probably pretty safe to get what he did last week against the Rams, 10, 12 points. He might get 2 touchdowns. Moore, yeah, who knows? No, Moore will get you 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Tennessee is at home against the Saints this week, too. So that works out for Peterson owners like yourself. Now, let's talk about a guy here, another running back, that I have gone back and forth on so many times this year, and I think a lot of fantasy owners have, too. Ramondre Stevenson was pretty big in week 9. Report, I think, Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember when I saw it, they were going to see about the Stevenson Damian Harris split in New England. So how seriously are you looking at starting him, Ramondre Stevenson, that is, in the leagues you have him? How seriously are you looking at starting him against the Browns this week?
He would be one of those kind of guys that I wouldn't want to start him unless I had to. First of all, you'd have to make sure that he's activated because he gets in, Belichick and his running backs, that's why everybody's frustrated because who knows what he's going to do with them.
Right.
If he is active and, you needed somebody, I would put him, but it'd be a rough spot for me.
It kind of depends too. Like,
I would say DJ Moore over him. I'm going to say that way.
Yeah. And I think like, as it stands right now, I mean, there's plenty of good options, ahead of him in my opinion, even after he's coming off this big week 9 too. I'm just looking at Damian Harris right now because I know he did get uh, He got dinged up, and they said it was a head injury, but I haven't seen anything if it's a concussion, if he has to go through the protocol or anything like that. But certainly if Harris is inactive, then Stevenson becomes much more attractive.
Entirely different story then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Ramondre got kicked in the head too. I think he's in the concussion protocol also.
Oh, maybe he is. Yeah, maybe he is as well. I'm actually going to check that right now because if that's the case, then you have a situation where, you're really – that might be a
– now you're back to a Brandon Bolden weekend.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. It was his final carry. Stevenson gets kicked in the head, and that was after Damian Harris got hurt, and then Steven. So yeah, both head injuries, and then Brandon Bolden. Well, okay, so that's the thing too. Now, if one of them is inactive, do you look at a flex of Bolden, or is that just too much of a Hail Mary?
Oh yeah, that would be rough. But
I mean, it's certainly.
I mean, it's I would rule it out. I mean, obviously, it's him or somebody else. I would take DJ Moore over him, but you know, running back position can get awful thin nowadays. So why not?
Yeah, and well, we had, and I referenced this last week when I was talking with Billy Muzio, but we had Adam Krautwurst on a couple of weeks ago, and he said, never drop a running back, because you never, and he said it a little tongue in cheek, but you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, you never know when one of these guys will all of a sudden be a top 20 play, right? Because of injuries, because of whatever. These guys are all just one play away. And that's why, you know, I try to hoard them too. Are you, well, I'll tell you what, let's get into this question right now. A backup running back that you have seen in the way on the waiver wire a lot right now, that you're surprised he's out there that much, that you think should be owned a little bit more, that if you do have a dead roster spot this week that you're looking to fill, that is worth a flyer. Is there anybody out there right now for you, Jerry?
I would, there's a couple of guys. Like you said, if somebody gets hurt, I mean, this guy can roll in. That's Peyton Barber. You just mentioned him earlier, Eno Benjamin. There's another guy you could probably, who knows? Right. And then Deontay Foreman in Tennessee. Those would be the three guys I would I'm going after this week.
Do you find yourself
just in case like Peterson a waiver doesn't work?
Right, yeah.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you find yourself from a roster construction standpoint, Jerry, do you find yourself doing that every week? And especially in the main event where the waiver wire, I don't want to say is bare, but there's not a ton out there. Do you find yourself doing that every week of looking at those one play away running backs and try to acquire them just in case?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the best way to go. And Adam, like you said, Adam does the same thing. It just, only carry enough wide receivers that you need. I mean, you can always pick up a wide receiver 5. I mean, they're on the board, they're on the waiver wire, and then just stack as many running backs as you can. And like you say, don't cut them, because as soon as you do, they'll become a superstar.
Yeah, no, and we've seen it time and time again where that happens, or somebody cuts a guy early in the season, somebody goes down. Well, think about D'Ernest Johnson. I mean, now you have this COVID situation in Cleveland where Kareem Hunt was already on IR, and now you have John Kelly and Nick Chubb and Dimitri Felton all on the COVID list. Going to be very difficult for them to get cleared in time for Sunday's game. I know they just signed Brian Hill to their practice squad. But think about all those people that spent all that money on D'Ernest Johnson and then maybe cut him once Chubb came back. You know, that's why you don't cut players, and this could come back to haunt you, especially, you know, we'll see how long Chubb's on the COVID list. Maybe it won't even be a 1 week thing. But I mean, this is why you keep these guys around, especially a guy in Johnson who showed that he can do it at the highest level, for sure. Speaking of players that you're keeping around, Trey Lance is a player that you were drafted on the 10th place team in the main event right now. He's still on your team. And I want to know, as we go through this, navigate through this bye week gauntlet, why do you believe Trey Lance is a player that's worth keeping around on this roster?
If you had we'd done this interview on Thursday, he wouldn't be on the team.
All right, so maybe he's not worth keeping. But you kept him around this long, right?
Well, I mean, you know, it's upside. Who knew if he was going to do anything or not? It's obviously it's Garoppolo's job. I have Matt Stafford, who has a week 11 bye, so we ran it for as long as we could. So it's time to move on. And I don't have no problem cutting a San Francisco 49er player.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
What do you make of the
Rams fan?
Yes, exactly. What do you make of that Niners backfield right now? Is it just a mess? Is it Eli Mitchell and that's it?
I don't know. I think Jeff Wilson may have something to say about that. It's like New England. That backfield is like New England. Who the hell knows?
Did you go after when? Because we saw some people pick up Jeff Wilson last week. Did you go after him in any of the leagues that he was still out there in?
Not aggressively. I might have put a little bit bait on him, but not aggressively, no.
Okay. All right. Fantasy standpoint here, as Odell Beckham makes it through unclaimed on waivers Tuesday afternoon. From a fantasy standpoint, Jerry, if you could put him anywhere that would be the best for his stats for this season, where would that spot be?
Wow. Well, I think you'd have to go to a place with a dominant quarterback. And right. The first spot on my head would be it's Green Bay.
And Vegas already signed Deshaun Jackson, so they're probably out of it, right?
Correct. Well, maybe not. I'm sure somebody signs him, but I would if he goes there with Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers could keep him in check, like Brady kept Antonio Brown in check. That may work. I could see him going to Arizona, could use him. I don't know him and Kyle Murray, how that would work out. And Indianapolis, they could use him too.
Yeah. What about, let me throw this one out there. What about Kansas City?
I don't know if I would put him if I was. I mean, obviously they could use him, but they're already going through some stuff. I don't know if you want to get him involved in all that.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be a great cart.
Exactly. They're already in a mess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be a spot. I mean, they could use him.
And we'll by the time this podcast is out, we might know what his new destination is. But we'll see. I know the Saints and the Patriots were also apparently talking to Beckham's people as well. So there'll be some time here before we find out where he is. All right. So week 10, the waiver wire running Wednesday night for the FFPC. Are you going hard after anybody this week, Jerry? Is there anybody out there that you just feel like you got to have? Or are you just doing your due diligence and putting in some keep them honest bids on some players?
Well, those three running backs that we discussed earlier, Deontay Foreman, Eno Benjamin, and Peyton Barber, I'll put him on some lineups. I have some spots I can get him for a couple bucks. You know, Jacobs is you never know. If Josh Jacobs goes down, Barber's, you know, an RB2. But Deontay Foreman and Eno Benjamin are the two running backs I'm going to go after.
Did you, in the leagues that you went after Peterson, was Jeremy McNichols available in any of those leagues? How did you sort of treat him, knowing that he's probably not going to get the early down work, but he does catch the passes, he will catch passes for Tennessee. How did you treat him in your bidding?
I thought Peterson and the Tennessee offense would be more valuable because I think there's a very good team, probably going to be ahead more often. And I'll take the guy who gets the goal line work every time.
And you would think that if Peterson goes down, that role would not go to McNichols. It would go to Deontay Foreman, which is why you're going after him this week, right?
Exactly.
I got it. Okay. All right. Final question. You've been very gracious with your time here, Jerry, as we get to this one. Is there an early round pick, or maybe not even an early round pick, but a guy that has been consistently started here over the course of the first 9 weeks of the season that you think is facing a poor matchup this week? I guess DJ Moore would qualify into this because a lot of people will be starting him, and you're considering benching him. A early round pick that you think should be benched, and then a sleeper that a lot of people will not have in their starting lineups that you not only think should be rostered, but that you might want to look at flexing out for week 10, sir.
Wow. I didn't even see that question. You're making me draw a blind here.
Well, you can use DJ Moore, for the early round pick that I think that you made a pretty compelling case. And then we saw the PJ Walker news during the podcast, that he'll be starting. So that would make sense as far as an early round pick, or a stud that should be benched this week. And you make the case, you know, for those running backs that you said, you know, Peyton Barber and Deontay Foreman and the like, you know, and, you know, that you should be picking those up. Wouldn't necessarily be starting those guys this week because they don't have a role, but maybe somebody who is already rostered, somebody you don't have to pick up this week, somebody who could step in and really help somebody out in a flex spot this week.
Boy, I wish I'd have seen that question. I'd give it some thought.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me throw a few at you here.
Fair
what
about there you go. Bail me out.
I'll bail you out, Jerry. I'll bail you out. What about this? So, if Zach Moss, now he's concussed, if he is indeed out, is Singletary just a must start?
You would have to be pretty damn strong at the running back position not to put him in, at least in a flex. You'd have to be pretty strong not to play him.
Right. What about, and we didn't talk about the Eagles running backs at all, but like the whole Jordan Howard, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott conglomerate, are any of those guys tripping your trigger for a start at Denver this week?
If out of that group, Howard, I'd say I like the guy who gets the goal line work, who's going to score the touchdowns. Howard is the same thing. He's probably a pretty solid flex play. RB2 would be tough, but I mean, if you had to put him in there, I would play him.
Let me ask you about
same thing with Boston Scott. Yeah.
Let me ask you. I want to shift the position to receiver and somebody in your own backyard. What about Van Jefferson this week at San Francisco? What do you think about him?
He's a nice player. He's not a, being a Rams fan, I'm probably pretty critical. He doesn't command the football. He's part of the piece of that offense. So he's a risky play. I haven't played him. I got him on a team. I don't play him, but it'd be rough to play him.
Russell Gage stepped up last week. He gets the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas this week, the resurgent Cowboys defense. What about Russell Gage as your second flex in FFPC main event? Would he be worth the start this week?
I believe, you could put him there. I think he's going to get enough volume to where you can do it. I mean, he could get shut out too, but I mean, he should get at least, you know, 8 to 10 targets, and it could be a shootout game.
Do you like either of the Browns tight ends at New England this week, be it David Njoku, who got in the end zone last week, or Austin Hooper?
you know, that offense is designed for the tight end to be pretty productive, but they're not. I wouldn't want to start with them guys unless I really had to. I mean, you'd have to be deep. But no, I'd avoid starting them at all cost.
And then this will be the final one. Logan Thomas is supposed to be practicing this week. He gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home in his first game back. And think about, you know, how many targets that this player was getting this season. Is he a guy that if you have him on your team, if it's FFPC tight end premium, do you have to get him in your lineup, or is it worth waiting one more week just to see how his body reacts?
You know, if you happen to stumble into obviously if you drafted Logan, you probably don't have anybody above him. It's always nice to see a guy who come off a layoff to see a game, but you may not, you know, you may be starting a pretty weak tight end, so you'd have to start Logan, and I would do it. I wouldn't have no qualms starting him.
We definitely have no qualms.
It's always nice to see a game, though, out of a guy who comes back from an injury.
It's nice to see a game. It's nice to listen to a podcast with a $500,000 national champion, and we got that this week on the Road of His High Stakes Lowdown. One, Jerry Hooten. Jerry, enjoy the real estate that you've already purchased. Enjoy the quest to win another $500,000 and maybe purchase some more properties. I hope the ball bounces your way. You got a lot of, you know, like you said, 10th, not only 10th place, but 40th place. And another team that's right up there too, that could make a run here if you get a couple of things to go your way as well. I certainly appreciate you coming on and offering some advice and some fantasy takes and some of these players tonight. And I know it'll help out the high stakes owners. Good luck in week 10, dude. We'll talk again soon.
Well, thank you for having on me. And next time I'll read all the way to the bottom of the email.
That's all right. I think we covered a lot more players this way. So maybe I might have to read the format of this. I think this might've worked out better. Thanks, Jerry. Be good.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.